Hi, I'm your pastor, Father Dan. You might remember me. I guess it wasn't that long. It just seems like longer because everything that's been happening in the world. And and also we welcome today Father Marion Charbonneau with us again from Atchison, from Benedictine in Kansas. He is, of course, wearing his hood, his hooded robe, because as you remember from last time, he is a Jedi or religious priest. What's the difference? Yeah, that's an option, all you young men out there, and young women. If you're watching the National Eucharistic Congress, you've also seen these Jedi women, these sisters, these nuns on stage. That's an option. So much has happened over the last week, especially in the news and everything, that it does seem like it's been more than a week. And I wanted to reflect on some of that, because I think it's actually really important for where our hearts are, and that we have to really know, and the Lord wants us to really have our hearts on the same agenda that His heart is on. Because many things, some are distractions, some provoke us to anger or frustration or confusion or fear. Many things seek to subvert the agenda of your heart away from the Lord's agenda. All right, and we don't want to let that happen. We see in this second reading that Jesus is breaking down the wall of division. All right, He's breaking down the wall of division. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have become near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through His flesh. What's the dividing wall of enmity? Enmity means strife or discord. Where's that wall of strife or discord? It's actually between us and God. In our humanity, we're made good. We're made in God's image. We're also inheriting this fallen nature, this sinfulness, this tendency towards selfishness. And, you know, you might say some of it's not all bad, our tendency to selfishness, but we also know that it's not all good, and that there is a sinful component to it as well, which means something where we put ourselves above others and God. So we want to resist something, and I want to just put a fine point on it. What we want to resist is God's sovereignty, that God is sovereign. Because if God is sovereign, I'm not. But that's one problem we might have with it. But that's what really I thought about the most this week in terms of the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Probably a lot of you saw as well the kind of the video where that shows the path of the bullet and then the turn of the head. And it just so happened that his head was turned so that the bullet missed. And he had no idea that was happening. That's just something that God did. Yes, I believe God did that. Can we control every little turn of our head? No, but God is sovereign. What was God sparing? I think He was sparing our nation from a lot further division, a lot further discord, a lot further unrest. All that division, there's a great division in our country, over many different divisions, but it's not just one thing, right? There's a lot of divisions, okay? And the Lord sparing us of a further, going down that road further. Why? Because God is sovereign and He can do that. I think we also struggle with God's sovereignty because we don't understand why God spares one tragedy but allows another one to happen. And if You're sovereign, then how come this tragedy happened in my life? Why did this happen? And we're hurt, and we want to resist His sovereignty. Other times, just because we don't understand, it's more out of pride maybe, but I don't understand this, and so I'm going to resist God's sovereignty. But remember, if God is infinite and we're finite, we're not always going to understand all of His purposes. We're not going to understand all of His reasons for doing something. But He is doing something nonetheless. As Scripture says, this is in the voice of God, God says, As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, says the Lord. And so we can trust that. We can trust his sovereignty if we know his love for us. But if we can trust his sovereignty, we can relax a little bit about controlling the whole world around us. We can relax a little bit about the course of the universe. We can have peace about the course of our nation or the church or even our own lives, our own families. A lot of things we can have peace about if we realize God is sovereign. And if he can, you can't control every turn of your head, so to speak, every tilt of your head in life. You can't control that. And this is why Jesus says, don't be anxious. You can't add a day to your life. You can't make a single hair on your head black or white. By worrying about it, what would that even do? But he knows everything you need. And seeing his sovereignty gives me the freedom to trust and to not try to control everything. To say, Lord, you know what? You're Lord, and you can do this. You can guide the future and the present. But also, I don't have to be in control. Now, self-control is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. But controlling the course of everything else isn't really in the purview for us as humans. But if there's a God who's sovereign, who's doing that, I don't have to. And you know what else I don't have to do? Convince everyone of everything that they need to know. I actually don't have to do that. In the atmosphere of trust and of faith, we're able to surrender and say, okay, Lord, if you're sovereign, if you're directing things, where are you going? What are you doing? What are you wanting? And another way to phrase that is, Jesus, where is your heart? What do you want? What do you desire? That's what we should be asking. It's also good when Jesus is asking that of us. He does do that in Scripture. But we should be asking that of him. Oh, Lord, what is your desire? What are you doing? And I think that we've seen that this is the Lord's desire right here in the second reading. Again, he, Jesus, he is our peace. He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh. The dividing wall between us and God, where our hearts are hardened, our hearts are far from him, and there's this way in which we become kind of against him or sort of resistant to. Sometimes it's more of a drifting away from, but that there's something about his ways that we say, oh, I don't want to fully embrace that. Like, I don't really want to be fully with you, Lord. Maybe we wouldn't explicitly say it, but it's kind of there. And Jesus is breaking down that wall of division. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us in ways that we just can't explain, but we know are true. If you've come to know the love of God, and that's the reason why we can trust his sovereignty. The reality is this: in a divided world, in a divided nation, and maybe divided, you know, in some other ways in your relationships, in your family, what does the Lord want to do? He wants to heal the wounds of division in relationships, in all kinds of areas. He wants to break down the dividing wall of strife. How? It says, through his flesh. That is a reference to Jesus' sacrifice offered on the cross, where he died for your sins and the sins of the person right next to you. And you've had trouble forgiving them, maybe. Especially if you love them very much, you have more trouble forgiving them at times, probably, right? But who died for their sins? Jesus did. You know what else it's a reference to? His flesh breaks down the dividing wall of enmity. Is the Eucharist. And the most important thing that's been happening in our country has been happening on TV all week, the National Eucharistic Congress, where we have seen and heard from these speakers, amazing speakers, about the Lord's love for us poured out in the Eucharist. I was really struck by the talk on Friday night by, I'm going to forget her name again, Sister
Josephine Garrett.
Thank you, Deacon. Yeah, three people had me this time. I forgot her name last night. Sister Josephine Garrett, she talked about repentance. And this is what everything is leading up to, okay? This is the point. Repentance. I keep saying we can't have a revival without repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Is your heart firmly fixed on Jesus' agenda? Like, is that your agenda? Because that's what he wants is this. His agenda is this, that you would know his love for each person that you meet each day. It sounds pretty simple. It might also sound very daunting. That's what he wants. Jesus wants you to have his love for every person that you meet every day. There's a dividing wall of enmity sometimes, right? Well, that person doesn't think the way that I think. Well, that person didn't take out the trash. Well, that person, you know, whatever. Maybe it's a lot bigger than that, okay? Maybe it is. He wants you to have his heart for that person. That's his agenda. That's what he's doing in the nation. That's what he's doing in our church. That's what he's doing in the Catholic Church in America, not just the Catholic Church, but especially at this National Eucharistic Congress. We see that the sacrament of his love, the Eucharist, is how he wants to draw us to himself. We do have to repent from ways in which we make our lives about things other than loving that person in front of us with the same love that Jesus has for them. And we try to say, well, what I need to do is I need to convince them that I'm right and they're wrong. That's the first thing that I need to do. All right, Lord, can you just tell them how wrong they are and how right I am? Just real quick, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right? That's not his agenda. His agenda is, Lord, how do you love this person? And every time that we come forward and receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we are receiving what he says, his own words. This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Eat this. Drink this. You know, at the Last Supper, he said this. We come to the Lord, who is the one, who is the only one who can break down the wall of division between us and God, and then between us and others. Because you know what? You can't be of one heart and mind with somebody unless, like, how can we all be united? How can our nation be united, our church, our world? How can we all be of one heart and one mind? Unless we all agree with Jesus. Because, think about it. And I know I say this a lot, but if we're not going to rally, Jesus is the rallying point of unity, that our hearts would be fixed on what his heart is fixed on. Our minds would be fixed on what he is thinking and what he is desiring. If he's not the point we're rallying on, then guess what? Where are we going to rally? Should everybody just agree with you and every opinion that you have? Should everyone agree with me and every opinion I have? Should everyone agree with Deacon Randy and every opinion he has? No. Just kidding. I'm serious. Should everyone, who should we rally on then? I mean, maybe it should be Gabe Russell. Gabe Russell. No, I mean, it's not any one of us. To be of one heart and mind, we actually have to be first of one with each other. To be of one heart and mind with each other, we have to first decide, I'm going to be of one heart and mind with Jesus. And I'm pointing here because this is where you receive communion. All right? When you come up and receive communion, you're saying, Jesus, I want my heart to be about what your heart is about. And the God who is love, God is love. The God who is love itself wants you to be thinking about how does he love that person in front of you. And as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist and say, I want to be of one heart and mind with you, we're saying, I want to be with you, breaking down the walls of division. There's been a lot of calls for unity in our country and a lot of calls for, unity or like calming down. And these are good things. But without unity in Christ, I don't know what that leaves us with. It just leaves us with, let's try to find an idea that is less offensive to everyone. That's not unity. There's no power in that. But you know where there is power? Love. God is love. The Eucharist is the sacrament of his love. The heart of Christ, that's where there's power. The more connected you are to the heart of Christ and to the heart of Christ for that person in front of you, the more powerful your life is going to be and restoring true peace, true unity, God's kingdom. That's what he wants. That's what he's doing in our nation. That's what this Eucharistic Congress is absolutely about, is that he's saying, I want to be one flesh with you. I want to be of one heart and mind with you. That's an incredible invitation. This is God. And you can see why he, in some ways, the Eucharist is a mystery, but in some ways you can see why he did it this way. And he invites us to join our hearts to his, to let that be the agenda of our heart, and to say when we receive him in the Eucharist, Jesus, I want to be of one heart and mind with you. How do you love this person? Show me your love for this person right in front of me.